A great commentator on scripture, Origen, actually the founder of the Christian understanding of the Old Testament, watched every word and prayed. He was a very holy man. He died finally because of the torture he had received in prison as a Christian. At one point in Genesis, the text says, and Abraham sat down under a Mamre tree. And Origen says, now, what can I tell God's people about that? I mean, every word is so precious in Scripture. What is this word all about? Now, most of us don't read that way, do we? We read it like we read it in Washington Post, you know, see what's going on. So when you get to a story like this, this one in the book of Samuel, which unfortunately they edit in a strange way, but the gist of it is there. Saul, natural leader, big, strong, good-looking man, and a good fighter, and so forth. A natural. And the Lord told Samuel, anoint him. Now just look at what we've been challenged with. The people want a king. God says they shouldn't have a king. They're rejecting me. I'm their king. And they keep, and Saul, Samuel explains all that to them. And they say, we want a king anyway. And God says, all right, give him a king. So now, Samuel is being sent by God, to find the king. And so, we go through this story about a stalwart man. He had a son named Saul. Now the asses of Saul's father, Kish, had wandered off. So Kish said to his son, take one of the servants and go look for them. Why would we have to hear about all this? I mean, one way it's engaging, and it's part of this, the gift, is that it brings us into a movement. Well, St. Thomas has a very interesting reflection, kind of about this type of thing. And the objection that he was raising to himself, the Assyrians and the Romans, their history has had a huge impact on the world, but the history of Israel has not made much of a dent. And his answer is, everything that happened to Israel is of enormous importance because the Christ was born of them. And that's why Origen was right in looking for. Now some of this is baffling. I'm just letting you in on what happens when you get a job as an exegete. You know, like, what do you do now? God said, all right, you know, God did not want a king. But I want to be their king. Well, all right, let them have their king. But Jesus is the son of David, the king. And if that's not bad enough, Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba. The second son, the first died. And that union was born of adultery and murder. So, and here now, God is going to give in to this. I'm trying to point out, there's lots of mysteries surround all this. It takes a lot of prayer to think. See, everything that touches this history has greater importance than anything else because it's part of what you can call the economy of the incarnation. The economy is a word it's used in theology, and it means the plan, the working out of the plan. We talk about economic theology, meaning the theology that's all about the plan of salvation. The other is the just theology. It's about God himself. And then the economy, or the economic theology, is about the plan of salvation. And in that plan, Israel is in the center. So whatever happens to this people, you see, is important. And so we hear this story. Now, I'm trying to encourage you to ponder these things. Why do I have to find out that Kish lost his donkeys and Saul went to look for them? Well, that sets up the meeting between Samuel and Saul. So finally they're going, and they left out, I don't know why, I'm sorry, I keep finding fault with the way they edit this, but the servant going along with Saul says, look, there's a seer around here someplace. Why don't we go ask him? And then a little footnote, as it were. That person we call now a Nabi, that is a prophet, used to be called a Roe, a seer. It's the same. But, you know. So go find the seer. Well, they find him. And the Lord says, that's the one. Well, you know, it didn't turn out to be the one, did it? David had to replace Saul. Saul got a big head, started doing things his own way. He would not rely on the Lord. He was going after necromancers and everybody else. Not purely relying on the Lord. So far in the story, we get one point. God doesn't like it when we don't rely on him. When we get all our own plans and we kind of know they're a little bit off, so we don't really consult him. You know, it's like, I know what you want, God, but I got something else, and you'll love it. You know, you'll love this God. He won't. And so, finally, and Saul, as you know, then it's funny, killed in battle, and David takes over. And then the son of David is the savior of the world. And so we have in this story, you see this, the minute Saul sees Samuel, he hears the voice. He knows. The Lord says, that's the one. Anoint him. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord assured him, this is the man of whom I told you. He is to govern my people. And so he anoints him, says, now you spend the night, and tomorrow I'll send you on your way. And again, I think they skip a little bit. First sign that Samuel gives Saul that you're supposed to be the king is, tomorrow you will find the donkeys over there. And they, but the sign, this is the sign is the anointing itself, and the way this story is written. In other words, you see, everything that happens to Israel has more importance than anything that happens to anybody else in the history, because of them was born the Christ. Can that make them proud and arrogant and hard to get along with? Absolutely. But then we have to take that one step further. The church is the physical presence of Christ on earth. So everything that happens to the church has an impact greater than anything else. Yes, we are, I forgot now how many, 6 million, 6 billion people. We're a lot, Catholics. But enough to have the whole world listening to what the Pope says? No. There's something else going on.
Yeah.
You see, our God does work in history. And it's very important that we understand, see, and respond to that. And we have people who are especially endowed by God for that, but we all have to see what's going on. Well, now you know what I'm going to say next, right? What's the greatest obstacle to doing that? The daily news. Because we get pushed and pulled here and there by everything, and we're not seeing where God is moving all of this, allowing it to go, and what his plan is. Because the church is at the center of the plan. Not because we're so great. I mean, take a list of the successors of David and read it. Most of them were crooks. I hope we're not. But the church is the body of Christ. And it is the place where God is working out his plan in history. Does that make us important? Yes. Does it make us better than everybody else? Well, take a look at us. No. But you see, it's this important. Well, how am I going to get in on that plan? First, read the Word. Because through it, the Lord will instruct you on how to think. Secondly, pray. And third, ask the Lord to give you a sense of who has prophetic understanding and who doesn't. And for all of that, you have to keep a clear mind. When I see it's the newspaper, it's the television, it's the computer, it's probably other stuff I can't think of right now. Bombarding us all day long with stuff that inspires fear and confusion and, right? Why? To stop us from knowing what's really going on. God is at work. God in his heart loves every single human being infinitely. And how does he work? Isn't it strange? He doesn't want them to have a king, but he lets them have one. And from the kingly line comes his own incarnate son. And then he tells Saul, anoint that fella, and he bombs out. You see how you've got to go back to God like Origins did there? See, Origin was just for that moment, had small problem. Why stop and tell me that Abraham sat under a tamarisk tree, whatever I said before? Why do I have to know that? A mind that asks that kind of a question is a mind that is zealous to know God's plan and follow it. And our greatest disadvantage is the absolute overabundance of information that we let ourselves get tricked into without even having, what is this thing that you put in the car, the GPS?
Yeah.
We need one of those, right? Well, it's the Word. It's the Word. And we read everything else. Well, of course you do. It's easier to read because this is going to challenge you. You're not going to get it unless you give up that sin. Anyway, just look at the mercy of God. And that's why Aquinas says, you don't understand. The history of Israel is more important than the history of Rome or Assyria or Babylon or any place else in the ancient world, because from them was born the Christ. So everything touched on that life. And for us now, you see, the church. So all the attacks we're under, all the sins, all the mess, the priests, the bishops, everybody with a mess, you see, that's because Satan knows that the center of God's plan is the church.